This last week, I was wandering around the church this week, and I sometimes do this, and I was just wandering, especially over in the older section there, and as I was wandering there, I was looking around and kind of wondering how many people has come through the doors of this church. How many people have come into this church? I know that it all started 111 years ago in that chapel down there where the chapel started. And in fact, actually, it was 13 years before that the church actually started meeting together. But it wasn't until 111 years ago that we met, some people met in what we now call a chapel down there. And as I was walking through that old building, and especially educational wing that was added in the 70s, I wondered how many hundreds of people had passed through the doors of this church through the years. Maybe it's in the thousands now. I don't know. I was wondering how many children were taught about the love of Jesus in those classrooms. How many were fed the Word of God week after week as they gathered in fellowship together. How many heard about the hope that we can have because of the resurrection of Jesus that was mentioned in these sacred halls. And then I couldn't help but think of how many hundreds or thousands of people outside of these doors were touched by the lives of those that were inside this church, that came into these doors. They didn't come into the church, but they were influenced by those who were in the church. Maybe even tens of thousands were touched by someone who attended here and shared that hope to them, to those around them. Because I know there's many that have attended here in the past, and some that still do, that are living their Christian walk and in other places, and are sharing that message of hope that they've heard in these four walls that we call church. Lives have been impacted because of the lives that were impacted here in this church. And on top of that, how many dozens and dozens and dozens of missionaries has this church supported or sent out over these last 124 years with that same hope? That hope that people were brought literally to that hope around the world. People who left behind friends and family to minister in foreign lands and even in other parts of our country. Hundreds of thousands of people whose lives are changed because of those that this church has supported. The dresses that we talked about this morning. I even, down in the hallway down there, there's even some pictures of, there's like seven pictures of boys and girls that this church supported at one time through Samaritan's Purse. How many of them experienced the hope knowing that a small church here in Groveland, Illinois was praying for them and giving money for them? And enough, all the thousands upon thousands that are just one step removed from direct contact with this church, either through missionaries or support or by people that either attended the church or knew someone who directly did. And what about those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands impacted for Christ that take it one step further? The ones that rippled upon once more removed from direct contact. How many people of this church around the world has a two-step connection with this church? I wonder how many people we will meet one day in heaven that will come up to us and say, "Hey, you went to Groveland Missionary Church. You know, because of that church, I'm here in heaven. Because of what you've done, because of the stuff that you've did, because of the dresses you made, because of the things you've done, I'm here." Hundreds, thousands, millions. Now that seems like a lot when we look around us today, right? There's only 25, 30 of us here, right? And we think, you know, what can we do as a small church? But this church has influenced millions and millions of people, I'm sure. I know the power of hope. I know the power of the message of the gospel that impacts lives. And I know the faithfulness that this church has exemplified down through the years and still is exemplifying. God is not through with this church. The doors are still open for people to come in and worship with us. They are wandering in hopelessness, looking for answers in all the wrong places. We see them on the streets. We bump elbows with them. We go to the stores with them. We eat at tables across a restaurant from them. You know, they're the waitresses, the cashiers, the teachers in our schools, the co-workers in our cubicle next to us, or the pizza delivery guy even. They're hopeless and lost. And God is calling us to share the hope we have. This has been one of our themes that we've been talking about this year. From our verse of the year, from Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we illustrated this morning for the boys and girls. This is overflowing hope. It's the sharing that hope that we have to others around us. You see, God is not stingy with his hope. God has filled us up to full and even overflowing, so much so that we cannot contain it. We are called by hope, by God's hope, to overflow and witness to other people about this hope that we have. And that's what the message this morning is all about. We're going to talk about sharing hope with others. But when I talk about sharing hope with others, one of the first questions many of us ask is, well, how? How, Pastor Tim, can I share the hope I have? Well, there are three means I found this morning through our passages that we can share hope with others. And the first one is through our suffering. Now, we've been talking a lot about hope in the midst of suffering during our sermon series here. And we've been talking about how we can have that hopefulness even when times are going bad, even when times are suffering and hard and pain. And I found a wonderful verse in 1 Peter that talks about hope. And some of you might have even committed it to memory at one time. But it says this in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I mean, this is one of those verses that we've often used for witnessing and for encouraging us to witness to other people. To give a reason for the hope that we have. Be prepared for that. It's often used, like I said, for witnessing, to prepare ourselves to tell others about the hope of Jesus, the hope that we saw last week. That hope is Jesus himself. But I think this verse, if we look at it more in the context of it, it's not just talking about witnessing to others. It's about witnessing through our suffering. Because even if you look in my Bible, it says at the beginning of this section here that this verse is in, suffering for doing good. So let's look at the context of this verse. It talks about witnessing through difficult and hard times that we experience. It's about sharing our hope even when things are suffering and even through persecution. So let's start at verse 8 of chapter 3. It says there in chapter 3, verse 8 to 1 Peter, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic and love your brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but be a blessing, because this is what you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." I mean, we've talked about this back when we talked about our one another series, the live in harmony with one another, and how important that is to love and show compassion with one another, and how we are to be a blessing to one another. We covered all this in our one another series, showing this. But I'm not going to point to this specifically because we've already talked about that. But it continues on here in Paul's writing, or Peter's writing, because of all that God has given to us. He goes on to quote from a Psalm 34. He says, "For whoever loves life and sees good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lip from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." This is just a continual encouragement of Peter, what Peter does in his book, his letter here, to encourage people to continue doing good, even in the face of evil. Jesus' teaching is very common in this letter. But then there's a twist in verse 13, because it says there, "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." You see, he says, even if you should suffer because you're doing the right thing, even if you're persecuted, even if you're doing things for Christ and things don't seem to be working out for you, if hardships come, if persecution comes, if outside obstacles get in your way, God will bless you. You can have hope in this. Continue sharing that hope. Continue to do what God has called you to do. Continue to live that life, even in the midst of suffering, because this is just before the verse that we talked about this morning, that we need to set apart Christ in our hearts, that we need to be prepared with that answer in the midst of suffering. This whole context of telling about the Lord Jesus is because we are suffering and in persecution. And therefore, we need to be ready at that times. It is through our suffering, our persecution, that our lives can tell others about the hope in Jesus. It is when the world around us sees the hope that we have, even when we're suffering, that will spread that hope that they need. It is how we work through our suffering without giving in or giving up to hope that they will see. That'll be a witness to others. But the context of verse 16, 15 doesn't stop there. It continues on. In fact, the last line of this verse, to do this with gentleness and respect, is kind of an incomplete sentence because it continues on in verse 16. It says, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Again, Peter's crouching this idea of spreading this hope in the midst of suffering. Suffering because of our testimony, because of our beliefs, because of our hope. This is a witness to other people. This tells other people whose we are and why we have this hope. And all of us can do the same thing. Because when we go through difficult times of suffering, if not currently, we will in the future. And I'm glad that we have, at this time in America, not a lot of persecution against Christians. We don't have to worry too much about suffering for our beliefs. We may be mocked or made fun of, or we may be dismissed out of hand. But there are people, even today, over in other countries that are being killed for their hope, for the hope they have in Jesus. Or their homes are being burnt down, and they're on the run out of town. They're left with nothing because they testify that Jesus is my hope. Because they put their hope in Jesus. And we need to be ready to give a reason for our hope. It says in Matthew 10:19 that we don't, when we're arrested, you don't need to worry about what to say or how to say it. It says at that time you'll be given what you said. The Holy Spirit will help us and guide us in what we say. But it's our testimony, our lives that speak volumes in situations like this. When people look at us and say, they have nothing to put their hope in. Why are they so hopeful? And we can tell them, and we can give a testimony about our lives and the hope that we have, even through suffering. So hold on to hope. Do not lose it because of what's happening here on earth. Let your life speak because of the hope you have inside you. And that leads us to the second way we can, a means to share our hope. And that's through our sacrifice. Not just through our suffering, but through our sacrifice as well. Suffering for Jesus is a sacrifice, but I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking more about giving and doing sacrificial giving in various ways. This can be financial, but which is what many people talk about when they think about giving sacrificially. But I'm talking about all aspects of our lives. About giving of ourselves. Giving of our time and efforts. Because God has given those to us as well to bless us with. How God used all our lives for His honor, to be sacrificed for Him. See, in his letter, Paul often thanks the church for ministering to him and for their support to him. Not just, again, ministry-wise, because sometimes he thanks them for not just financial reasons, but many times it is financial for Paul. When he writes his letters, he traveled to various parts of the world. He didn't have a chance to support himself many times. And so we see this, especially in 2 Corinthians, that Paul is telling them, thank you for what you've given to me. Thank you for your contributions to me. He says it in this way in 2 Corinthians 1. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have been received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. That overflowing idea continues on here. It says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope in you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. You know, so Paul's saying, hey, this is our hope. We know that you are sharing together with us through your sacrifices, through your suffering, and through your comforts as well. Not just when bad things happen, but when good things happen. You can be comforted and comfort others because of that hope. That God has given us this hope, this comfort in our lives that can be poured into other people's lives. Just as God can comfort us in our troubles, he can comfort others. And there again is our word hope. Paul's hope is knowing that these Corinthians were supporting him and being comforted by him, sharing both in his sufferings and his comforts. You know, and we too can do the same things in our lives with that same comfort, with that same hope that God has given to us, that we can share that hope with others. His sacrifice gave us comfort. And so we too should sacrifice to bring comfort to others. The sacrificial giving, giving of ourselves to the work of Christ, the sacrifice of our time and our work and of our lives, and yes, that's our money. As I said in my introduction, I've wondered how many people have been touched by the financial sacrifices that this church has done. The financial backing of missionaries and giving to them and to the work here at Groveland. And I hope that doesn't stop, and because that's what God has told us to do, to give. These dresses are examples of giving. I'm glad we did it this Sunday. I was thinking about, oh, let's put it off till next Sunday because that's when Pastor Tim will be here to share and to take those dresses back with him. But I thought, no, it talks about hope and sharing that hope. And this is one way this church has decided to help share that hope with others. And I never want us to think, even for a moment, that, oh, I've done enough, or if I sacrificed enough, or I've given enough, or that the church doesn't need me. No, never think that. Again, I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about continuing to give to this church by sharing the hope that you have. Because unlike money, that won't run out. God's going to continue to pour into us. I mean, sometimes, yes, we cannot afford to sacrificially give to the church because we don't have anything. But God has given us this hope to overflowing, and it will not run out. And we need to do this sacrificially, because when people see the hope that we have, and when we share sacrificially, they'll be attracted to us. They'll want to know that where they too can find the hope that we have. But you know what? If we're stingy with our hope, if we hold that hope in and keep it all to ourselves, what's going to happen? They won't be attracted. If we hide our hope and do not share this overflowingness, they won't see the fruit of our sacrifice. So Paul urges us to use the comfort that God has given to us to bring comfort to others. This is kind of what the writer of the book of Hebrews also emphasizes when he says this in Hebrews 13. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confesses his names. Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now, I like this verse because the verse right before us in verse 14, it talks about that city that we're looking for, that city that God is going to give to us. And it reminds me of what we learned a couple weeks ago in Hebrews 11, just a few chapters before this. About that city whose builder and architect is God. And that these people in Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter, gave their lives for sacrificially so that they could reach that city. They had this hope and faith in the promises of God that they're willing to sacrifice their lives so that they could reach that city. So that people can offer the sacrificial kind of praise, the sacrificial kind of giving of this hope. And I hope that we had this kind of sacrifice, giving all that we have and all we are to the hope that God has given to us, that it might be spread and shared with others, because it is through our sacrifices that we can share hope with others. That's one, the second means to share our hope. But there's a third means. We can share our hope through our suffering, through our sacrifice, but also through our Savior. Now, last week we made the connection between hope and Jesus, right? That hope is a person. Hope is Jesus. And we can share this hope through our suffering and through our sacrifice, but also by telling others about Jesus and what he has done in our lives by being our Savior. That's why I put the S, you know, I just didn't do this just for the S's up there. But through our Savior. See, Jesus doesn't just exist, he came to save us. And this goes all the way back to being able to answer people for the hope that we have. Because God has given that hope to us through Jesus, our Savior. You see, you know, anymore, if you tell people about the Bible in our culture today, they really don't think the Bible is God's word anymore. They don't see Jesus in the Bible. But you know where they see Jesus? In me and in you. I mean, if you go to someone and say they need to follow the Bible or live according to the Bible, they would wonder why. They don't have as much respect for the Bible as they used to, right? When we were younger, when we were kids. Handing out Bibles or handing out tracts, while good, I'm not sure makes a big difference nowadays. It's not part of our culture anymore. And while the promises of God's word will not come back void, as it says in Isaiah 55, I think sometimes it might be more like giving pearls to swine, Matthew 7. But one thing I do know, when people see us and see the change that a Savior made in our lives, they can't question that. They can't doubt that like they can the Bible, that really didn't happen or that's a fictional thing. Because telling people about a Savior is different from preaching to them or even witnessing to them. It's just telling them your story. That's what we were saying this morning. I'd love to tell the story. Not reading in the scriptures or the Bible, but saying, hey, look at the story of my life. Look at how Jesus came into my life and it makes a difference. Look at the hope that I have because I know where I'm going to end up one of these days. Look at my life. Look at the hope that I have because when I'm suffering or when I'm sacrificing myself or when I'm doing things for others, it's because of a Savior who came and changed my heart, who came and cleansed me from my sins. It's telling our story. It's letting others know why we have hope. And sharing them is different from anything else that we might use for hope. See, the hope that we see in your life is different from theirs because they don't have Jesus in their life as a Savior. And if your life is not different from theirs, then there might be a problem that we need to look at. We might need to get back in the scriptures and say, why is my life not different from those around me? Why are people not seeing the difference in my life? Because maybe I'm not living up as I should. But if you're really living for Christ, truly living for Him, your life will be different. Your life will look much different from those around us with no hope. Last night at our dinner table, we talked about this because in our devotion time, we read about different things that night. And last night, it was specifically about giving respect to those in authority was our kind of our devotion. But we noted that if we don't display that kind of respect, if we're disrespectful to our teachers or to other people in authority, how that affects our testimony and how it affects who people see us as. If we're disrespectful, how are we going to be any different from any other teenager in Morton schools we were talking about with our kids? How does it change from just the regular person than us? How should we be different by showing respect in this case? And if we're living like the world, how can they see Christ in us? If we're living our lives carefree and not worried about how we are to be portrayed, will they see the difference that a Savior makes? I love what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He says, I've become its servant. He's talking about the church here. I've become its servant by the commission God has given to me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Again, that word hope just beams right out there. Paul says, hey, I've been commissioned by God. I have this task upon God to spread the word to the nations, to the Gentiles, this mystery. And it's now disclosed to us Christians, the saints. And to us, God has chosen to make it known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is what? Christ. That Christ is in us. That Christ has made a difference in our lives. He is the hope of glory. Kind of reminds me of the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, at Christmas time we see about the one song that talks about who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord God Almighty. He is the King of glory. And we're called to make this glory known to the Gentiles, to those around us. We are called, just like Paul has been, the saints, to make known among the Gentiles God's glorious riches. We have the Savior that has changed our life. We have a person in our lives that has changed us and made us different. And people are wondering, well, how? Why? What's different about you? And we can tell them, you know, I did not do this myself. It wasn't because of my actions. It was not because just trying to be better or trying to look better. Or it wasn't because I read the Bible. No, the Bible has made a difference in my life. God has made a difference in my life. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's my Savior. He came and changed me from the inside out. That's our message. The message is not, thou shalt not commit. No, it's not, why are you so wrong? No, it's saying, God loves us and God loves me so much He cleansed me. God loves me, He changed me. He wants to change you as well. That's sharing the hope that we have. And we're all called to make this glory known to those around us. Because Christ is in us, He saved us. We can share this hope through our Savior, telling people how we change and why we're different. So this morning, if you're not doing this, if you're not letting your life shine, then maybe we need to look a little bit deeper. Are you sharing the hope that you have because of the Savior that you have? Because God has given us this hope. Is our life different? And if not, why? How can we change that? Because we need to share this hope we have through our Savior. And I hope He has changed your life. And I hope that those listening, if He has not changed your life, that you will get to know Jesus better. That you get to know who He is and what He wants to do and how He wants to change your life. How He doesn't want to leave you where you were when He found you. God loves us so much that He comes to where He found us. He can find us wherever we're at. In the deepest of sin, in the darkest of nights, He can find us. But He says, I didn't love you enough to leave you there. I love you to change you, to change your life, to change your heart. And I hope that we will not be timid in telling others how He has done that in our life. That we won't be timid and wonder, oh, I don't know how to answer this person about the hope that I have inside me. So my question this morning is not, oh, I wonder how many hundreds and thousands of people have come through this door and been impacted by the hope. The question I'm going to ask you this morning is how much many more people can be impacted by this church through your lives? How many more people can be invited here? How many more can have that hope? Maybe not because they come to the church, but because they've been impacted by you outside these doors. How many still around us can be won through our suffering, through our sacrifices, or through our Savior? They are the ones that we need to shine before. They are the ones that we can reach and share this hope with. I'm pretty sure you probably heard the song before by Ray Bolts. If not, you might want to have a tissue handy. Because in closing, I'm going to play the song, Thank You, Lord, for Giving to, or Thank You for Giving to the Lord. It's a wonderful hymn. Wonderful little thing there. I'm not going to do the closing hymn this morning, by the way, Anita. I'm not sure if I can handle after this song, because every time I hear this song, I get choked up about it. And so I don't want to come back up here and try to blubber through the closing. So I'm just going to play this song, and then after that, you'll be dismissed. But listen to the words of this song. And if you're like me, you want to think, okay, maybe one of these days will I experience that thank you for giving to the Lord by those who go before us.
And I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Giving to the Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, I noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes. Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.